Jonathan, yesterday I listened to Matt Mullenweg on the Decoder podcast with Nilay Patel. Have you caught the episode yet?
I have not. What did you think of it?
You know, I try to keep an open mind as much as I can when it comes to Matt. But I had this experience where I realized suddenly it clicked for me. He's got a formula for how he answers difficult questions. And when you realize this formula, everything he says starts to really annoy you. And every time he talks, it's almost like, I really don't like this guy.
Okay.
Answer the question, Matt.
What do you think the formula is?
It goes like this. First of all, you need to affect a large smile on your face. Do it with me.
Okay.
And then reject the premise and talk about something slightly different.
Okay. What's an example?
Will you ask me a question? Go on.
Okay. About me. I'll ask do the bit.
No, don't pretend I'm Matt. Just ask me a difficult question.
Okay. Let's see. Luke, why do you like cricket so much?
Well, I don't know if that is necessarily true that I like cricket so much. You see, cricket is a great game and it's been played for a very long time, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay. So what I'm hearing you say is that you didn't get a lot of substance from Matt's responses.
You know, I did enjoy Nilay really pushing the buttons a bit. Like, he goes for it. He asks some tough questions, and where other interviewers might back off, he pushes in, and it's worth a listen, really.
Okay.
It is worth a listen, but didn't get a lot of new information out of it.
That was going to be my next question. So you observed, you're developing a hypothesis about a formula, but did anything stand out to you as new? Now, and I guess it's fair to call out, it may not be new to us who have been following sort of what's been going on closely, whereas
It's probably new to a lot of the Decoder audience.
Yeah. Yep.
One of the things, though, that he did touch on, let's say this was new, actually, news to me, is he was asked, like, why did you go after WP Engine? And, I mean, actually, the way the question was worded was fantastic. It was couched in, you know, we've all been doing open source for so long. We know open source. We know how it works. And forever, this has just been part of it. There'll be free riders, you know? That's just part of the game that we're playing. That's permitted legally by the licenses and everything. And it's, so why now? Why did you have to go after WP Engine? And Matt smiles and rejects the premise. And, I'm not just going after WP Engine, you know. And then talks about commercial interests in open source.
The private equity piece of it, I assume.
Something like that. And he talks a little about how, if commercial interests take over the project, then it can go nowhere. Makes actually a pretty good point about what happened in Joomla. That's not a point I've heard applied to this whole situation very often. Joomla got over monetized and he's worried about that happening in WordPress.
Luke, it's just kind of bringing me back to when this all started. You know, Matt did that post that we talked about where he called out private equity. And I remember at least feeling at the time like, okay, not sure where this is going, but I'm tracking the premise. And this was, of course, before the WordCamp US incident. And then a lot of us have left feeling like, what's going on? Like, what's the deal here? Did Matt take anything back, or did he show any, at least in the interview, any sense of like, oh, mistakes were made?
Yeah, definitely. He repeated multiple times that he regretted saying that WordPress.org was his personal website. So that's interesting. But where I was going with the commercial thing is that he said explicitly that that's why there are no premium plugins. There's no sales mechanism through the WordPress plugin repo, is because he thinks that there's misaligned incentives. And that was interesting to me because I know that that is actually something that you had been championing. And I know it's it's sort of like maybe a long-term goal of yours, or I'm not sure how you currently feel about it, to be honest. But for years, you were talking directly with Matt about maybe making that happen.
This makes me wonder, too, if maybe Automattic's interests are shifting because what I'm reading between the lines is maybe Matt's position is that WordPress.org, in fact, will not have that monetization. But I'd be surprised if like WordPress.com didn't lean into that even further. And perhaps that's the long-term answer where it's like, oh, yeah, .org will remain unmonetized and .com will pick up that banner. Whereas in the past, I've at least inferred and I think had good evidence to believe that it was being seriously considered for .org. And perhaps in the midst of everything that's happened, maybe Matt's decided that .org, you know, from here on out won't get that interest. And I don't think that interest is going away. I think the interest in monetizing the premium plugins remains, and .com is perhaps the avenue through which they would intend to do that.
Yes, and let's not pretend like .com isn't a commercial interest, but of course it does give back to the project, and that also was covered back in that Nilay Patel interview about why they returned to contributing to WordPress.org, which was that basically Matt said, we felt hurt by all of the community backlash, we, meaning I, and then we missed it, so we returned. I got to think there's more to the story there.
Well, just as a counter to that, I think it's quite possible that Matt, and I would expect in good faith that he is hearing from people in the community who are affirming that sentiment. So he's not just representing the broader interest. You don't feel that he's representing your interest in that. And I would argue that the challenge is like his sample is both perhaps is probably not large enough and is going to be biased in favor of agreeing with him. Mm. Right.
I mean, maybe he just says we. When he means I, or maybe he's got one or two yes people involved, but do you know what I mean? Like, it's very easy for a CEO to just say a royal we.
Sure, especially in the context of an interview, perhaps, right? Whether it's conscious or not, I could see that sort of representative approach, but I'd give him the benefit of the doubt in that case. And I'm guessing he's at least heard from people who are agreeing with him, whether they're agreeing out of fear or genuinely believe it.
Oh, well, one point he's asked was the decision to go after, Nilay did it beautifully. He set up a little earlier. He said, you know, one thing that you've always done is you've documented your decision-making process within Automattic. You use the P2 blog and you make it a bit of a group decision. It's not just you, and you document it all and who was involved in making the decision as in text. Do you still do that? And he said, Matt said, yes. And Nilay said, a few moments later, he said, okay, whose decision was it to go after WP Engine? Was that a Matt decision or was that a group decision?
Interesting.
And Matt said, that was a community decision.
Okay. See, and that does, as you're describing it, I haven't heard the exact words, but that feels disingenuous, whether intentional or not, because at least for the majority of us, we didn't see it coming.
Yeah. Anyway, so a premium plugin directory.
Hold up. I'm thinking about this a bit more. Unless Matt's arguing that his public post about private equity and the agreement that he gathered to it was the affirmation of the direction followed by the delivery. Surprise, it's WP Engine. I mean, he called him out in the post, right? We just didn't expect the degree to which he would declare war. Carry on. Premium plugins.
I mean, yeah, it's frustrating. Anyway, next time you hear Matt speaking, especially at like an event where he's asked live questions from the audience, look for that pattern. Anyway, so
right.
I'm a bit frustrated by this premium plugin thing because I actually think premium plugins on the .org directory, the plugin directory and themes, I'll say plugins, but I mean themes and block patterns too.
Blocks, yeah, anything, yeah.
Whatever. And I think that this actually could be a really good way forward. I'm kind of disappointed that it's sort of not on the table. Because if .org was only owned independently, right, it doesn't have to be automatic, and it doesn't have to be Matt. It can be an independent body. It doesn't have to be the foundation, because foundation is not for profit. We can spin up something new out of the foundation, just like we spun out the community team to do WordCamps. Yeah. WordCamps aren't not for profit. You know what I mean? Our WordCamps are technically a for profit entity. So we could do something like that for .org and ownership there. And then if we had a percentage cut going from the plugin directory into that, then that could be a great way of maintaining the directory. That could be yep. a great way of funneling stuff to WordCamps. That could be really good for everyone. I think that that is a great opportunity to really grow WordCamps and pull it into the next level.
I'm going to say that I think we'll actually get there eventually, one way or the other. And part of it is like Matt has to be
with
thinking about
that.
Well, Matt has to be, he's said publicly that he is thinking about succession and kind of what happens afterwards. And by sort of current state, if .org is his today, at some point, Matt's not going to be around. I hope for his sake that's a long time in the future. But there is a, at some point, there's going to be a transition. I would predict, Luke, that it can happen within the next decade, which is a long time. But I can see us getting there.
You mean Matt's succession, or do you mean a plugin directory?
No, like I can see Matt, like right now the incentives aren't all that high, but I could see him going through the work to separate .org and take the things that have been learned from some of the other initiatives that have happened and like solve the monetization. Last I looked at the problem a few years ago, it was rooted in its ownership by the foundation or the connection to the foundation, its nonprofit status. Like there were just blockers on top of the fact that it wasn't very motivating that just made it a non-starter. But I can see the climate, the interest shifting. Maybe something out of the legal cases will be a catalyst for like him saying, okay, I'll set this up as a separate thing with its own governance. Obviously, he'd be involved and have like authority in that context. But you know, I can see something happening sooner rather than later. We just missed the catalyst event. There has to be an incentive.
Yeah, I appreciate your optimism based on nothing. Well done.
That's not nothing.
So I wanted to ask quickly also about WordCamp US, because that's something that's been controversial in the last week or so. And, you know, it was interesting because I came across this post on the repository about how ticket sales are lagging for WordCamp US. And I know you've been on the organizing committee before.
I have, yeah.
On the same day, someone sent me this Reddit thread in r/Australia saying, would you travel to the US for tourism, for vacation? And everyone in the thread was just like, hell no, no way. No, I went there once. I'm not going back. Stop you in the airport. It's crazy.
Luke, what are you talking about? You thinking that? Are you saying there's something going on in my country right now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm saying like I really do wonder. I'm not obviously WordCamp US is mostly people from the US, you know, traveling to it. But you know, there is also an international component, especially like Canadians as well. And
I would argue that historically it's been closer to a 50-50. I don't recall offhand, but it's like these flagship events have been quite international in nature, which has been one of my favorite things. A lot of us from the US have gone to WordCamp Europe and so on and so forth. So it is probably accurate to say mostly, but it's historically been a non-trivial majority. Or a non-trivial number that have been international. So I think what the repository was saying is that the ticket sales are down, right? So I'm curious about how that is relative to past. I don't recall. I guess I wasn't surprised to read it, which makes me a bit sad. I don't know. I'm going to be there, and I'm looking forward to seeing how it goes, but. Yeah, that's
what's your take on Matt having like final approval of speaker selection? Was that the case? Do you recall when you were organizing?
That is what I recall having been at very least the unspoken case. Like people wouldn't come out and directly say, oh, Matt's going to approve this. But there was some opaqueness about the final approval and how this goes. And then there could be surprises where like a special, and it was positioned as a positive, but depending on how you looked at it, it could end up being taken as a negative. And I don't know. I think a lot of this stuff around also just detracts from how much time and energy is being put in by hardworking, well-meaning volunteers who are trying to make a great event happen.